This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, we are in the midst of February. The Caps are rolling along, and let's just all face it. The Caps are not good. They're just not good. They're not doing well. This has not been fun to watch. These guys are in a slump, and we're going to need some help. But what I'm going to need right now is some help because, like you didn't hear last week, I didn't do a show last week. Coach Dan was still out. I have new stuff going on at work. I had no time to do it. But this week, we're all back together. The family's coming back together. Coach Dan is here. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
I'm back.
You're back.
I've been a little busy raising a newborn over the past 2 weeks, but I have returned to the land of podcasting, I guess.
Yeah, on the interwebs.
Podcastlandia. Yeah, a little tired, but, you know, we'll get through it.
Yeah, so I got another big thank you to Ryan Drury for stepping in 2 weeks ago, helping me out, and talking a little bit of Caps hockey. Can you guys tell he's passionate about the Caps? Can you tell that from that show? Because, man, that is one angry Canadian.
That's just Ryan.
Yeah, that's just
him. He's not
him.
So much angry as he's just Ryan. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's passionate about stuff. I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with him, though. He's been calling games for the Guelph, if I have it right, Storm for a while now. And you and I don't have any swag.
We still got no merch.
So, you know, Ryan, man, come on, buddy.
Come on. I'll take a shirt. Hats?
I only wear hats when we record. It is rare that you will find me wearing. It's actually pretty funny. I went to pick up my son from school the end of last week, and I was wearing a Washington Nationals hat. Congratulations to Ryan Zimmerman. Fantastic career. He's retiring, or has retired now, however that terminology works. But I was wearing a Nats hat, and I walked up to pick him up, and I was with my wife and our new daughter. And not that she can do anything or understand what's going on around her. She's like 2 weeks old today, actually.
Yeah, happy 2 weeks.
She has a cool – okay, off subject of the off subject. She was born on 2/2/22.
Oh, that's cool.
So easy for me to not forget that birthday. So anyways, so we're going to pick up my son. I'm wearing a Nats hat. And what his after-school teacher looks and goes, I didn't even recognize you. She's like, I never see you with a hat on. You only see me wearing a hat when I'm recording here or if it's raining outside during work. I'll throw on a work hat just to keep the rain, like, off my face.
Sure.
Because it's a trucker style hat, so like my head's getting wet either way. But that's the only time she's seen me wear a hat. So I'll take a t-shirt. Love a good t-shirt. My wife will be – she's very happy. I have 1,000 t-shirts. She'll love me having another one. Or jersey, because those jerseys look pretty cool.
Yeah, send him the most expensive thing and say, Ryan, give me this for free.
I wonder if he can get anything for free. Thanks what we need is a out. Caps now, prospect
yeah.
to go play for them, and then it'll work out perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, he said there was a guy on the Gulf Storm that is probably going to be around the draft area where the Caps will be. So, I mean, there is potential there.
That'll be cool. But anyways, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
We'll see as we power through this episode as I try and stay awake. But you know what? I'm more awake than the Caps have been since the start of the new year.
Good segue. I was going to say, I don't know how many games you have watched because I know you got to be tired. And when you do sit down to watch a Caps game, when you get a couple minutes, they're hard to focus on because the whole time you're watching it, you're going, oof, this isn't good.
No, it's been terrible. And the nice thing is I can watch the games on my phone or my iPad. So if we're putting one of them down to bed, I kind of have the game on in the background. My son likes watching hockey. He knows Ovechkin's name. He can say it unprompted. He knows, like, the Caps. If you ask him what's his favorite team, he says the Caps or the Capitals. But, yeah, he's a fan. He's not a fan of how they've been playing, if he actually understood what was going on.
Right.
But since the start of the new year, they're 7-9-2.
Yeah, and that's not good.
Not great for a team that is, they're not fighting for a playoff spot necessarily, but I kind of feel like you want to be in a good spot to have an easier first round opponent, right? Yeah, like you still have to get out of your division.
Yeah, I mean, the division isn't great right now, and there's a big drop-off from the fourth spot to the fifth spot. So the four teams are pretty much going to make it to the playoffs just because the other teams in this division just aren't playing. They're playing even worse than what the Capitals are doing. But with the Capitals' track record, the way it's been the last couple years and everything else, it's kind of, you know, you expect the Caps to be one and done, especially with the way they're playing right now. If they were to hit the playoffs right now, they would be up against the Penguins right now in the first round. I don't see the Caps being able to beat the Penguins at this moment in time.
They match up pretty well against Pittsburgh. I mean, given how they've been playing, like if you're just looking at roster to roster, the Capitals shouldn't be 7-9-2 since the start of the new year.
Right.
But let's keep in mind, Carolina is 3 points behind Pittsburgh for first in the division, but Carolina's played four less games, which I don't understand what's going on there. But the Caps are 7 points behind Pittsburgh right now. The Caps played one extra game. But like you said, there's a huge drop-off between them and the team that's behind them in the Metro. In Columbus, there's a 16-point difference.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big gap. But that could close. I mean, you're talking they have an 8-game lead right now on Columbus, although they've played four extra games. So if Columbus wins those four extra games, now it's a 4-point lead. So that gets interesting real fast.
I have to say, just because of, you know, all the stuff they've had to deal with COVID around the holidays, it's been hard for this team to get into a rhythm. I think I'm not trying to make excuses for the play, because the play on the ice has to be a lot better all around. But the stopping and starting of the games of the schedule have not been very favorable to the Capitals. It's hard to get into a rhythm when you play a game, then you're off for 5 days, and then you play a game again. There's a game on Thursday against Philadelphia. They don't play for another week after that, until February 24th against the Rangers. I mean, that's a long gap to keep your body in shape, to do what you got to do. And the schedule hasn't been favorable. They're missing a lot of key players, and the players that they're supposed to be able to count on aren't there. Lines 2 and 3 are not doing what they need to do. They're not working out the way they should. Lines 1 and 4 are looking pretty good. Defense is looking okay, and the goaltending is just an absolute mess. Everything is wrong with the goaltending.
That was really loud. It's a problem in terms of, well, the second line offensively is doing okay. The new second line, which but Samantha Pell put it out before yesterday's game against Nashville, the Snively Backstrom Sherry line offensively is doing well. Defensively is maybe that was McMichael Eller Sprong line. One of them is offensively very good, defensively a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. But there's so many different issues with this team right now. For me, number one is goaltending. Number two is goals. They don't get a lot of them. Number three is the power play.
You see, I would rank the power play up a little higher than you.
I think the goals and the power play kind of go together. So maybe that's like a 2A, 2B kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like our goalies.
And then the penalty kit. Yeah, that's true. And then you have the PK is a bit of a concern. You know, it's okay. It's not terrible. Power play is the biggest concern right now. And you talk about players coming back. Yeah, it's true that they've had players out. Mantha's been out since about 6 years ago. He hasn't, you know, he's starting to skate now, but he's been out. Oshie's been in and out of the lineup. He hasn't played a ton of games this year.
I think Ryan brought it up two weeks ago. Oshie's played, I think, 12 games this entire season.
18.
Okay.
So he's got 13 points in 18 games. I mean, Oshie may not be a point per game player, but he's close to it.
Yeah, but he's also one of those heart and soul type of players too. Mm-hmm. He inspires the players around him. So because
he's a high energy guy.
Yeah, he's not there. So a lot of the rookies aren't living up to the potential they could have because they don't have guys like Oshie there to help, you know, lead them away.
I'd argue against that, actually. I think the rookies have done quite well. All things considered, because these aren't rookies that you're looking at going, these are, first line talent. You have maybe McMichael, who's not getting a ton of minutes from Laviolette. But after that, you've got guys that maybe they can get to that. But right now, they're projected to be, you know, maybe second line, probably third or fourth line players. And that's not an insult. That's still a very good career to have, and that's some very good hockey. And these are players you're going to need to step in when you start to move on from guys like Hagelin and Hathaway and maybe Dowd in a couple of years. Like, eventually you're going to Eller at some point. You know, you're going to start moving Oshie. You're going to move away from these third and fourth line guys, and you need to replace them with younger players or cheaper players, depending on if you have the younger player that can step into that role. But it's interesting because I was reading Tarik El-Bashir of The Athletic. He's the Caps beat reporter for them. He had a mailbag. Every once in a while, he has a mailbag that comes up. Fans ask him questions. And they're talking about, at what point can we start replacing player? I think the one that was brought up specifically was Hagelin being replaced by Axel Janssen-Fjällby. Because theoretically, Janssen-Fjällby can do the same thing, not only at a cheaper rate for a cap hit, but potentially produce more. Although Hagelin looks like he's doing a little bit better lately. But the thing I'm looking at, or that Tarik El-Bashir was talking about, is that who do you take out of the lineup to replace him with a younger player? And he doesn't think that Laviolette would do with Hagelin because he likes the line of Hagelin, Dowd, and Hathaway. It's a high-energy line that does produce good hockey. They may not be producing point-wise, but they're not getting scored on a ton. They're able to cycle the puck. They play well defensively. So he's not willing to break up that line. So that's why you might not see a guy like Janssen-Fjällby getting the opportunity, or Brett Leason, Leason Protas might be more of the offensive-minded guys. But I think that might be why we're seeing some of these older guys that may not be producing offensively still getting opportunities to play. It's why you might be annoyingly seeing that fourth line getting more minutes at the end of a game when they're down a goal or two. And you're like, these guys aren't producing offensively. Like, what are you doing? Like, he's banking on that energy, trying to be able to produce something. At least that's, I think, what Tarik was trying to say. But the lineup's a bit of a mess. This is an old team. It's a big and it's a heavy team, and this league is getting faster and younger. And the Capitals have started looking at that, and maybe that's not this season, which would be unfortunate. Maybe it's next season. But a lot of this can change pre or up to the deadline, because any trades could shake up their roster and their potential lineups for next season. Maybe you go out and you acquire a 26 or a 27-year-old, and you're giving up a couple of young guys and a pick. It doesn't sound like the Caps are willing to part with their first-round pick, which I think is a smart move.
First time in a couple years.
Well, I think they realize that this core of Ovechkin, Backstrom, those two specifically, and Oshie, they're older. And that window is closing, not because of the lineup, but because of reality. That they only have so much time. They're not Jaromir Jagr. They're not going to be playing when they're 50 years old. I mean, he turned 50, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah.
He's still playing, given he's playing in the, Czech League, and on a team I think he owns, which, if it wasn't Jagr, you'd be like, wow, of course he let himself play. But he's probably one of the better players on that team because he's a very good hockey player.
Did you see the clip of him? I think it was on TNT before the Caps game, where he apologized for the years with the Capitals.
I did see that, and I've never seen him say it before, but I've read it before. I get it. Acquiring Jagr was Leondis' big move after he acquired the team. He wanted to make a splash. He came out with his, I think when he bought the team, it was the 5-year plan that they were going to win a cup within 5 years. That obviously didn't happen. But he had to make a splash. They went after Roenick, and my understanding is they went after Roenick hard, but he ended up signing with Philly. And he had to do something. So he traded for one of the best players in the game at the time, but he wasn't the right player for that team and the way it was structured. Ron Wilson played a bit more defensively. That wasn't Jagr's game. It was the wrong move. It looked great on paper, but it didn't work for that team. But I think the fact that he owned up to it, and it's just like, it was just a bad fit. Like when we brought in Kevin Shattenkirk, it was a bad fit. He wasn't a bad player. Or we brought in, there's someone else they brought in recently that was just the wrong dude for this lineup. Like, it just didn't work, you know? And it is what it is. Sometimes you make a trade and it doesn't work out. It looks great and it just doesn't happen. So that I'm not too worried about. You know, it is what it is. You know, Jagr, for a long time, I really hated him. Well, I didn't like him because he was on the Penguins. I didn't like him because he seemed like he was mailing it in when he was with the Caps, and he might have been to an extent, but I don't know if he'd ever admit that necessarily. Although he doesn't seem to care one way or another.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work out. But going back to the lineup that they have now, I don't look at this lineup and go, you know, I think this team could really go all the way. Now, to be fair, the year they did go all the way, in November, we were talking about firing Barry Trotz.
That's
so
true.
So things can change, and a trade or two can make a big difference. But Tarkov here was talking about this in the mailbag for The Athletic, that he's wondering if the veterans on this team, they're looking at the standings, they're looking at the schedule, and they're going, we're going to make the playoffs. It's highly, knock on wood, it's highly likely we're going to make the playoffs. So do we take our foot off the gas now, prevent some injuries, prevent burnout, and then when we make the playoffs, we turn it back on?
Well, if you remember the year before they won the Cup, 2017, the Caps had the number one spot, the President's Trophy, all of that in like this time of that mm-hmm. year. Like it was like almost 2 months worth of hockey that meant absolutely nothing to this team. And then did they almost get taken out by the Maple Leafs, or did get taken out by the Maple Leafs in the first round?
But you're right. There was a year where the Caps, they took their foot off the gas and they weren't able to turn it back on or put the, that didn't make sense.
And then the first round, they were pretty much done.
Correct. No, my like, I don't know, analogy or whatever, like comment I was trying to make, that I didn't follow the same line. I got trapped in my own sentence structure. But anyways, I think it's dangerous. If you can do that, if you have the capability to be like, okay, I'm going to take my foot off the gas here, and then when it comes to playoff times, I'm going to push that thing as far down. I'm going to Fred Flintstone this car where my foot's going all the way to the ground. Like, do it. Because I get that. You're preventing injuries. You're preventing burnout. I just don't see this team being able to do that. And I don't think in a league where a lot of things can change and trades can make, you know, something can shake things up dramatically. I don't think that's a good idea, you know, and I think you have to set yourself up for a good spot in the playoffs. Then again, if they're one of the top two teams and they get that, you know, more home games, is that really going to benefit them? Because they suck at home right now. They're on a 5-game losing streak at Capital One, but they're doing really well on the road.
I think they kind of enjoy being the bad guy. I think that's what it might be. They kind of enjoy that.
We've liked them so long that they've, what is it? You, what's the phrase from The Dark Knight?
You live, you die a hero or live long enough to become the villain.
Yeah. Basically they've done that. They've lived long enough to become the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Cause they used to be, I can't remember what year it was, but it was back during the Young Guns era where wasn't there a season where they didn't lose any, or they lost like on like a handful of games at home. I mean, they were unbelievable at home. How they've lost 5 in a row. Like, are their homes just too, you gotta shake up the locker room? Are their houses too comfortable? Like, I don't understand what's going on. But that's a problem. That's not even the biggest problem. That's an annoying thing that you feel like you should be able to fix. But this power play.
Well, before you talk about the power play, I do want to bring up, you brought up Connor McMichael and some of the stuff and the young guns that are coming up, these rookies or whatever. Ryan brought this up, and I want to know your opinion on this. Is Connor McMichael being a full-time Capital actually beneficial for him? If he's only getting 7-8 minutes a night, is it beneficial for him to be here for that short amount of ice time in the NHL where he could be getting 20-25 minutes in the AHL? Like, is it better for him to not get a lot of ice time but get some NHL experience? Or is it better for him to hone his craft down at the Hershey Bear level and come up and really make a splash in a year or two? What do you think?
Well, I think my first response to that would be a question in terms of who takes McMichael's spot on the roster if he's not mm-hmm. with the Capitals. Like, is that person going to be able to produce with the 6 or 7 minutes? Not like he costs a lot. He's right. Not hurting the cap, or the team's cap space by being on the roster. But in terms of his progression and reaching his potential, I think it depends on how he would do in Hershey. If he's down in the AHL and just dominating and essentially just going through the motions, then he's not really progressing. He's getting more minutes. He's getting more playing time, but he's not progressing because he's not playing against talent that's necessarily better than him. There might be a handful of players in the AHL that are better than him, but are you matched up against them? Are you going one-on-one against them? Like, you're not producing in your career. You're not progressing, I should say, in your career if you're playing against guys that cause you to go through the motions. You know, when you want to get better at a sport, you want to play against good people because it pushes you, it motivates you, but it also provides you that opportunity to get better. But at some point, your progression is going to become stale because you're just playing against people that aren't as good. Whereas he's playing in the NHL, he's playing against some of the best players in the world, and it's giving him an opportunity to progress. Now, I think he needs to get more minutes. This is a guy that ideally is a future big piece of this franchise, especially in the post-Ovechkin-Backstrom era. He needs to be getting more minutes. And it looks like everything I'm reading from Japer's Ring, from Russian Machine, he's not doing poorly with the minutes he's getting. So why is he not getting more?
Yeah, that
why am I not seeing
me.
Him more on the power play? And I think Ryan talked about this 2 weeks ago. Why are we not seeing him more on the power play? What are they going to do? Be worse? They've got, I think, not the national game, but the game, I think it was the Ottawa game, I saw the stat. It was like they're 20, I don't remember what it is right now, but they're 29th in the league. When you have the one, arguably one of the best goal scorers in the history of this game, you've got a first ballot Hall of Famer in Nicholas Backstrom. You've got Evgeny Kuznetsov, who's someone lit a fire under his butt because he's having a really good season. John Carlson's passing is so-so from time to time, but he's a very good player. When you have these guys, your power play in no way should be where it's at right now. And again, going back to Tarek, he brought up interesting, but the former head coach of the Hershey Bears, Spencer Carberry, he is in charge of the power play in Toronto, who has the number one power play in the league, or one of the top ones.
Really?
Gotta wonder if that was a missed opportunity.
Huh.
If I read that correctly, and if I have that wrong, I apologize. But that's what I read yesterday, I believe, is when I saw the thing on The Athletic. If you can get a deal, I don't work for them. I get no money for this, but I really enjoy having that subscription. There's some really, really good writing on there. McMichael needs to be getting more minutes. I don't know why he's not on the power play. I don't know why he's not getting better opportunities. And if you give him these opportunities and he's not producing, then I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But he is producing well with the time he's given. So why is he not being given more? That I don't understand.
Now, looking at the defense, unfortunately, it looks like Schultz got hurt in the first period of the game against Nashville, and he's going to be out with a day-to-day upper body injury. So we don't know what his status will be for the Philadelphia game. But is this another chance for Michael Kempney to get back into the lineup?
It's an opportunity for him. Yeah, it's an opportunity for whoever gets his spot to show that they deserve to be playing night in, night out. But you have to produce to be able to do that. So any one of these guys, anytime someone's coming up from Hershey, anytime, you know, you look at Joe Snively, he's taking complete advantage of the opportunities that he's been given.
He's doing very well.
He's doing very well. I think he's earned a spot for the time being. And as long as he keeps producing, I see no reason for him to come out of line. The tricky thing will be, when Oshie and Mantha come back, assuming they come back, that who comes out of the lineup for those guys. So that'll be an interesting problem. A good problem, but an interesting problem for them to have. But with Schultz potentially out for the game against Philly with the upper body injury, it is an opportunity for Kempney or whoever they decide to play to take advantage of that and play well, because this team certainly needs it. Now, we know it's not going to be Dennis Cholowski. He got put on waivers, I think, this past Tuesday. And then Seattle, who originally put him on waivers, reclaimed him. So, short-lived time with the Caps. I think it was a low-risk, high-reward opportunity. Didn't work out with the, what do they call it? The taxi squad being eliminated at the All-Star break. And afterwards, it was a numbers game at that point. It doesn't hurt the organization or anything to just put him back on waivers and lose him to Seattle. Best of luck to him in the Pacific Northwest, but just didn't work out here. And, hopefully it works out for him there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really think of many memorable things he did with this team.
He didn't have that many minutes.
Yeah, he didn't. So
it's just a numbers game at that point.
Yeah, he just wasn't producing and wasn't getting the numbers he wanted. So they decided to let him go. And, good luck with Seattle. Hopefully you can make a splash there with them. Looking at our goaltending right now, we have
Ilias goaltending?
Samsonov and Phoenix Copley, North Pole, Alaska's favorite son. He had not been in the NHL for over 3 years, and then he got to start a game or two. He was the backup for Samsonov last night. Sammy's having a very rough year. You and Ryan both agree that there's some more upside to him due to him being so young, but man, it worries me. Vitek and Samsonov, both of these guys, I think, are good. I don't think either of them are great. And they also both have a real hard time staying healthy. Like, right when you think Vitek is doing absolutely fantastic and he's going to be the clear-cut number one, he goes and gets hurt. And then you got Sammy, and that's nerve-wracking enough, having Sammy in net. Obviously, the trade deadline's coming up. I know that they want a top six forward. I completely understand them looking for a top six forward. I hope we can find a top six forward. But goaltending is not working out. And when your defense is doing okay and your goalies are doing okay, you're going to have an okay postseason, which means it's going to be pretty short. So it's not going to
Is that
work.
Okay then?
I mean,
it's a bad one.
If you guys enjoy golf, then yes, that it will be an okay off season or a postseason for them. But these guys, I don't know if they can cut it 1A, 1B. I feel like they do need a veteran to come in, help lead the ship. We know it's not going to be Marc-Andre Fleury, but other names like Braden Holtby are out there. And he had a rough game against the Capitals, but I do think potentially him coming back would be a good thing for him. I think it could reignite his game. I think it'd be good for the Caps to have him back in town. But there's other options out there as well. But what we have right now, it's just not working.
Yeah, and I think the Caps have a couple of needs. Definitely need a forward, like you said. Definitely need a goalie. They could probably use a veteran defenseman. But I don't anticipate them doing that just because I think they're going to – what they want to spend on bringing in players to help this team, they'll spend on a goalie and a forward. And I don't think they're going to move anybody else and bring in anybody else and lose any prospects, picks, any valuable commodities. Because they probably would have already given up what they're willing to lose to push this team to have an opportunity to actually win the cup again this year. So – goaltending, we definitely know they're interested in. There's been rumors that they wanted to go after Marc-Andre Fleury, like you mentioned. It sounds like he has no interest in moving to DC. He was a Penguin.
He was a Golden Knight. He's a Blackhawk now. He was a Penguin.
Let it go, man.
Let it go.
That'd be like if Holtby came out and was like, I don't want to go to Pittsburgh. I'd be like, I get it. There's a lot of animosity between the two teams, athletic-wise. And it makes sense. There's also a lot of talks. I was seeing some talk about the fact that he just may not want to move again. Remember, at the beginning, when he got traded to Chicago before the season, he had potentially an interest in being like, no thanks, I think I'll hang him up. I don't necessarily think he's going to want to move again for family reasons.
Okay, fine.
And I get that. I understand that. There's talk about Yaroslav Halak. I feel like Halak has been in this league since I was in like middle school.
He's been around a while.
What did he start playing when he was 12? No, that was Michael Neuwirth. Anyways, word is that Vancouver may not want to necessarily move him out, that he may not want to move, that he's good. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So the people that they could get is getting smaller and smaller.
Yes.
Bringing Holtby back is a great story.
It is a great story, but is it smart business?
I think it depends on what you have to give up.
Yeah.
Because I think that Holtby right now is a better option than Samsonov and Vanacek. Right now, this team has two quality to really good, not great, not almost great, but really good backup goaltenders.
Right.
Samsonov and Vanacek. They have a good third goalie in Phoenix Copley. And, let's be honest, that's probably about it at this point. So they don't have a number one goalie. They need to go out and they need to bring in someone. And I'm not in, to go back for a second, I'm not insulting Zach Fucali. It's a great story. Maybe he's a number three. We don't have the stats really to know if Fucali's really it. He's probably a number three at best. Maybe a backup at some point. But either way, it doesn't matter because none of these guys are number one. The team has to get a number one if they want to be able to progress further than the first round in the playoffs. That's reality. Holtby's a great story. He's only 32. He's had his injury troubles as well to an extent. Probably wouldn't cost a ton of money unless he came in and they won the cup. Then he'd be like, pay me, which his team can't necessarily do. But I was having a conversation, if you can have one of those, on Twitter. It was with Ryan. It's Ted Starkey, who is the internet news manager for Newsday. He wrote a couple of books about the Capitals, Red Rising. He's a Capitals contributor for hockey writers. We were talking, going back and forth, about what the Capitals need in terms of a goalie and what are they willing to give up. If you're going to go out and you're going to get a rental like a Holtby, who on paper is a rental because he's a free agent after this season,
right?
He's not going to cost you as much. Now, Dallas is pushing for a playoff spot, so are they going to want to get rid of him? I don't know. Maybe, depending on what they get back. But if you're going to go out and you're going to acquire someone who's got years and terms, well, you're going to have to give up a lot more. And to me, the reality is this team needs a goalie, not just this season, but next.
Yeah.
And potentially, probably, the one after that. So do you go out and do you try and find that person now? Is it a rental that you hope will play better and that you can re-sign? Or do you go wait until the offseason and try and sign someone then? To an extent, that's how you end up with Jose Theodore. So it's what they're willing to give up versus what they need for now and the future.
Are there any prospects in the draft that could potentially? I mean, I know in the.
I don't think we ever see a goalie that comes that fast.
Yeah, because I mean, I know with the NHL draft, these guys get drafted and then they go away for like 6 years and then they come back and start playing again.
Usually, the top three dudes could make it in the NHL the next year. After that,
yeah,
it's unlikely. They don't have a goalie in the system right now. I mean, it was Samsonov. He was supposed to be the number one. That's why they let Holtby go. Well, that and salary cap reasons.
Right.
But it isn't working out. He's either not getting there or he's not ready yet or whatever. He'll never get there. Like, we don't know what the reality is with him. And he's had his injury troubles over the last few years. He's been in and out of the lineup because of injuries, because of getting sick, because of COVID, whatever. So the question for this team and for Ryan McClellan is, if you go out and you trade for a goalie, you're probably moving one of these two guys out in that trade. And in my mind, Samsonov gets you a better return. He's younger by a year, but he's still younger. And he has more potential. Does he need a new environment? So if let's say they're trading for Braden Holtby. Or let's say they're trading for, I don't know, any goalie that could be a number one or is a number one and he's moving to the Caps. But if you're going to go out and you're going to acquire a goalie that has a couple of years left on his contract, you're going to have to give up more, which means you're probably moving out Samsonov. And while that's kind of a bummer because, you know, he's a Caps first round pick, sometimes it just doesn't work out for a million different reasons. So if that's the case, but they can bring in someone. Remember, goalies can play until they're much older. I mean, a lot of players can. If you're Ovechkin, you can play until you're, you know, probably 45. If you're Yager, you're playing into your 70s. So maybe, you know, a guy like a Holtby has 7-8 years still he can play. 6-8 years. You know, he's only 32. I don't know when his birthday is.
Right.
I'm not, like, that big a fan of his. September. So he'll be 33 before the start of next season. You know, you bring Holtby back and you sign him to a 3-year deal with the anticipation of drafting another goalie or at that point, Vanecek's like 20. Where is his name? Vanecek at that point is 29. You know, Vanecek could then play for 5, 6, 7 years if he's ready to be the number one at that point. A Holtby Vanecek tandem, if Holtby can continue to play like a number one, it's not the end of the world. So that's an option. And Holtby, to an extent, is just a placeholder for whatever goalie they bring in.
Yeah.
So they have to bring in a goalie if they want to be able to do anything in the playoffs because we have not seen enough consistency and, like you said, enough ability to stay healthy from Samsonov.
That's the biggest thing for me with both these guys is that it's like, again, it's this stop-start thing that the whole team's been going through since December. But that's the same thing with the goaltending. It's been like, oh, this guy's doing good. This guy's on a roll. This guy's on a roll. Oh, this isn't good. And now he's out. And then it's like, oh, they're not even on the plane with the team. You know, you can't help injuries. I completely understand that. And right now with COVID and everything else going on, it's even harder to stay healthy. And these guys are traveling and they're on planes and in hotel rooms. I know it's going to be difficult staying healthy in that type of environment, but these two goaltenders, it doesn't matter. I mean, we saw Craig Anderson playing against the Bruins last postseason because both these guys were out.
Well, I mean, in reality, players get sick. Even pre-COVID, players get the flu. They get sick all the time because they're around each other so much. Like, it's kind of, I work in a school. It's kind of the same way. You know, kids are around each other so much, you get sick. That's just the reality of things. It's easier to spread germs when you're close together for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You remember the, what was it called? 24/7. There was a scene, I think it was 24/7, where Boyd Gordon, I think it was Boyd Gordon, he came in. I might have this completely wrong, but he came in. I think it was him. I can't remember exactly who it was. But came out on the shot, and he was coming in for practice or a game that day, and he just did not look good. And, you know, he was sick. He had the flu, whatever it was. And they were like, get out of here. Go home.
Yeah.
Like, go home, rest. Like, it happens during the season. Players are out because they get sick. I remember when I was younger thinking, how come this hockey player got the flu? Like, you said, they're big and they're tough athletes. I'm like, yeah, but, like, people get sick sometimes. Like, it's not the end of the world. Go home, get better, get some rest, come back and play. The reality is they're going to get sick. They're going to get hurt. My concern is the fact is they're not playing well enough to be a number one on a playoff team. They're not really playing well enough to be a number one on a team that's fighting for the playoffs. So if that's the case, make a trade. But how much are you willing to give up to bring in that goalie thinking that this team can really make a run? Because if you give up a first-round pick for a goalie with your, you know, they bring a goalie that's 25 or 26, and he's a number one. He's a number one right now, and he's doing really well. I'm okay with trading that number one pick. You know, that'll probably come back to bite me when Ovechkin retires and they don't have a star player or a player right. that can score goals at even a fraction of the pace that he does. But they need a goalie, and getting in someone that's 25 or 26 who can probably play for 10 years as your number one goalie, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
that's probably not going to happen. You're probably going to get a guy who's 29, 30, 31, 32, somewhere around there, who can play for a couple more years. Really, you're looking for someone that can now bridge the gap. They thought they didn't need that person. Turns out they do. So they got to give up something. They got to give up something of a commodity to someone else to be able to bring in a player that they need. So you go out and you find a team that's a bit older that's looking to reach Seattle, Vancouver, Arizona. You know, you go out and you acquire someone that can help you now. And you give up something that will help them in the future. Draft picks, prospects, a goalie like Samsonov. And you do that knowing you still need to have something else to give up to someone else because you need a forward. Maybe you get Anthony Mantha back and he plays well. Maybe you get Oshie back and he stays healthy and plays well. But you don't know. And you're not giving the minutes to McMichael for whatever reason.
Well, Anthony Mantha, I mean, he came in at the trade deadline last year. He didn't have a lot of time to get acclimated to the system. Now he's had a training camp. Again, it was modified due to COVID. And then he starts playing mid-October. He's out in November. He's not going to be acclimated to the system still. It's this stop-start thing. And is he going to, if he even comes back, is he going to be able to make a splash like he did when he first got here and, what was it, four consecutive goals in four games or something like that?
That was cool. Yeah, we were like, we got a gem here. This guy's amazing.
Yeah, and then he cooled off real quick. Is he going to be able to get hot as quick and stay hot if they want to make a run later in this season and in the playoffs? Because, I mean, yes, there is a large gap right now, and it seems like it's going to be unlikely that they won't make the playoffs, but there's always that chance that things could just go completely downhill and they could miss the playoffs. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's – I mean, you don't even need Mantha to come in and be an all-star. You just need him to be good.
Yeah.
You know, a point every – I mean, the playoffs, you know, a point every other game would be nice, if not every game, be an assist or a goal. But you want consistency. That's the biggest thing, is you want some consistency. And the Caps got that in the year they won the Cup. They had consistency from their top guys. They had consistency. They had outstanding play from a guy like Devontae Smith-Pelly. And that's what you need. You need that energy and that effort that we saw towards the end of that season in those playoffs. That desire and that drive. We're just not seeing it right now. We're seeing guys that are, they're not necessarily going through the motions. They're just, they're not putting enough into it that we're seeing from other teams. I mean, look at that game. I think it was the loss to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Ottawa, I think, played on Saturday. They came to DC and played on Sunday. In the third period, when they're up, they were still playing like a team that hadn't played the night before. And the Caps looked like they'd played four games in a row. That's, and I know the Caps are older, but that's not really an excuse. You had 2 days off before that game. There's no reason they should have been looking like the tired team, but they did. And that's a problem. This team is a bit older. I think we talked about, on average, they might be the oldest team in the league. That's not necessarily the problem, But when that's the case, you need to be prepared for that. They have, like you talked about, they have a week between the game against Philly tomorrow and the Rangers on the 24th. Perfect opportunity to make a trade. Bring in someone who can get settled onto this roster. It's not, you know, Mantha's skating. It'll give him an opportunity to relearn the system, if he even lost the idea behind or how it works. It gives him an opportunity to get healthy, but he still may not be coming back until, you know, end of March or early to mid-April. Like, we don't know when Mantha's coming back necessarily at this point. They probably have an idea. We don't know when Oshie's coming back. So that week off that they're essentially having is a great opportunity to get some good practices in. And adding a new player during that time frame, letting them get settled in the area, you know, learn where the grocery stores are, where's the closest Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. You know, what are these things that they need to get by? Let them get comfortable. It's a great opportunity. So I'm looking for a trade on the 18th or the 19th. If I'm general manager of the Capitals, I'm looking to complete a trade between now and Saturday, if not after that. But I want to do it soon because I want to give time for that player to come in and learn the system and get comfortable in the area so I can hit the ice skating as opposed to hit the ground running on Thursday in New York.
All right, so anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Let's see. I'm going through my notes real quick to see. Oh, you know what? We have to give a little props to head coach Laviolette. He became the 10th coach in NHL history to win 700 career games. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
To do it in Nashville, too.
Yeah, his
that's
former
rather,
team.
That's rather poetic. And Ovechkin, he's now 5 goals behind Jager for third all-time. He's got 761 goals. And he is the first player in NHL history with 16 30-goal seasons.
All right, so by March 1st, does he tie or is he beating Jager's record? March 1st, that's like 2 weeks. You think he can do it?
It's 4 games. No.
No?
I think around March 1st.
Paddy's Day?
What's that, the 16th, 17th?
Yeah.
14th? When is St. Patrick's Day?
16th?
Yeah, by then.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. Oh, they're not playing Pittsburgh. That would have been poetic. No, I just think because there's 4 games, he's 5 goals. Maybe. If the power play was better, he'd already be passing him. He'd be well past him. So maybe. Maybe. I think by the game in by the Canadian trip, he's probably there or about to get it. By the Western Canada trip, I should say. But hopefully I didn't just jinx them. One last thing before we move on to Down on the Farm is that D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser announced that those attending indoor entertainment facilities in the district will no longer be required to be vaccinated. And then the mayor also announced that they are lifting the indoor mask mandate as of March 1st. Now, Monumental Sports Entertainment, the company that owns the Caps, the Wizards, the Mystics, Capital One Arena, and a bunch of other sports-related things in the district in Virginia, they will still require that employees wear masks as is required by the NHL and the NBA.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears have gone 3-2 since your last show. They had 2 wins over Cleveland and 1 over Belleville, while they lost both of those games to Lehigh Valley. Bears are currently 2nd in the Atlantic Division with 54 points, 2 back of first place Springfield. Now, they'll be back at it with 3 games back-to-back-to-back over the weekend, starting on Friday in Providence before heading to Bridgeport on Saturday. Then they go back to Providence on Sunday.
That seems a little unfair.
Yeah, why wouldn't they just go stay in whatever. Whoever came with the schedule, you know, you do you. They also then host Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Tuesday at the Giant Center. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-2 with a win and a loss, both of those being to Greenville and Norfolk. Some nice symmetry there. Now, they are currently tied for last in the South Division with 36 points, 19 back of first place Jacksonville. They'll try and turn things around with 3 games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Florida, and then they stick around in Estero, Florida. I didn't actually know that's where the Everblades played. For whatever reason, I always thought they were in like the Miami Fort Lauderdale area.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but no. Other side of the state. I mean, it's not that far, but whatever. They stick around there on Saturday before heading to Jacksonville on Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, unfortunately, it looks like the Stingrays just are not getting it done. This is that's a big blow to them. Last place, never a good thing. But the Bears, they're doing okay. Could definitely win some more. But when the Caps keep taking all your best players up to the NHL level, what are you going to do? So go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Lots of stuff going on, not just the NHL, not just the Olympics, but women's hockey as well. So, Coach Dan, we got lots to talk about. Mm-hmm. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start in Montreal, where the Canadiens fired head coach Dominique Ducharme. He was named head coach last February, going 23-46-14 in 83 regular season games. However, in the playoffs, he went 13-6 in 19 games and led the Canadiens to their first Stanley Cup Finals appearance since 1993.
So they gave him 1 year?
I mean, they're pretty bad this year.
But still, like, got to the playoffs, like the final.
Like really bad. Yeah, you think you'd get a little bit more, but that's not the case sometimes in the NHL.
Montreal, Canada.
That is true. Montreal then announced the next day that they have hired former NHL player Martin St-Louis to be their interim head coach. Now, he was recently the assistant coach on a peewee team.
Okay.
That is a bit of a stretch, but we'll see how he does. But Montreal, that's another team that needs a bit of a rebuild. Now, not to be outdone, the very next day, Edmonton fired their head coach, Dave Tippett, on that being the past Thursday, as well as associate coach Jim Playfair. Now, Jay Woodcroft, who was the head coach of their AHL affiliate in Bakersfield, was promoted to be the team's new head coach. Earlier in the show, you had mentioned Bruins goalie Tuukka Rask. Well, he has announced his retirement. Rask ends his career with a record of 306, 163, and 66 in 560 career games, a Vezina Trophy, and a Stanley Cup championship in 2011. So quite the career for him. Now let's stick around in Boston, where Brad Marchand was suspended for 6 games for roughing / high-sticking Pittsburgh's Tristan Jarry. Now with his suspension, Brad Marchand now sits alone in first with the most individual suspensions in NHL history.
That should have been way longer of a suspension.
Congratulations to Brad Marchand. And I agree. I don't understand why he's appealing it, by the way. You went out of your way to punch Jarry in the face. Like, I don't care if he said something to you. You're not he's not Marco Materazzi. You're not Zinedine Zidane. Brandon doesn't understand what I'm talking about, but some people might. You didn't need to go out of your way to punch the dude. Or smack him in the face with your stick. Like, you're just a punk.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So, I guess either he wanted to or the player association decided, but he's appealing the suspension. I haven't seen anything about it. He's apparently traveling with the team. But I don't know.
I would have gone to 15 games. Just given his history and everything he's done, I would have gone 15-game suspension.
Yeah, it's the sad thing is it's not surprising.
No, not at all.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. They might reduce the number of games, but I still think he's going to get some sort of suspension a couple of games off out of this. Speaking of people being suspended, Minnesota's Marcus Foligno was suspended for 2 games for kneeing Winnipeg's Adam Lowry, and Ottawa's Austin Watson was suspended for 2 games for interfering with Boston's Jack Aitken. First big trade of the silly season came as Montreal sent forward Tyler Toffoli to Calgary for a 2022 conditional first-round pick, a 2024, fifth. I don't understand why it's so far in advance sometimes. Fifth-round pick, forward Tyler Pitlick, and forward Emil Heinemann. The Coyotes announced that they have agreed to a 3-year deal with an option for a fourth to play their home games in Tempe at the Arizona State University's new multi-purpose arena, which is scheduled to be completed this fall. The new stadium is scheduled to hold up to a whopping 5,000 fans. For comparison, Capital One holds 18,573 for hockey.
The AHL has had a lot of fun with this because there's been a lot of AHL teams poking fun at the Arizona Coyotes on Twitter because some AHL barns hold more players, or hold more fans, I should say.
No, you're probably right the first time.
Yeah, than the Arizona Coyotes' new arena. So it's kind of like if the Capitals were to play at the DC Sports and Entertainment Center, where the Mystics play right now. Because that is a very tiny, tiny space that I saw wrestling in a couple weeks ago. And that was, I think they only used half of the arena. And it was like 2,000 people. It's a tiny little venue. So
I feel like the Anthem in DC hosts more. Like when I went to go see Of Monsters and Men before the pandemic, I felt like there was more people there for that than will be allowed to go to Coyotes games.
Yeah.
Also, can we go back and re-rank some of the jerseys? Because the ones they're using now, I actually really like.
Really?
Now, yeah, I don't know why. I just, for some reason, I like the style. I know, which usually I go for the more kind of classic, simplistic look.
Boring.
Okay, harsh. The nice thing about having these sort of only having 5,000 fans is that it would look like it'll be a nice environment. You know, it'll be very... I'm not doing a great job explaining what I'm trying to say, but it'll be very intimate kind of... It'll be probably loud, and it'll probably be pretty much all Coyotes fans, presumably all Coyotes fans. So this could either be really cool or really, really not good.
I mean, just imagine if they don't sell out that arena.
That would be... Wow, that would be really bad.
I remember they were having trouble selling tickets, and they were doing promotions to get you there and be like, hey, Ovechkin's coming to town. Like, this is Ovechkin's, like, maybe, like, second or third season in. Like, that was the promotion. You get to see the other team come play here. That's why you should come to the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I believe this is all happening while they try and look for land, probably in the Tempe area, to build their own stadium. But they could also, and I hate to say it because I'm sure there are Coyotes fans that live in Arizona, live in Phoenix. It might be time to look at moving the team if it's just not going to work out.
And if you only need 5,000 seats, I know a really crappy arena right in Baltimore they can use.
My guess is if they were to relocate, they would look at Houston. They would look at Kansas City because they already have an arena. And they would look at Quebec.
Quebec City.
Now, I feel like Houston's – it probably would be Houston number one, and they probably would end up with the team. I think it's the biggest market in this U.S. that doesn't have an NHL team. I can't really think of anywhere else. I mean, you could look at, like, Portland. You know, they support their teams really well over there. The Timbers are very well supported in Portland. I think Houston would be where they'd end up and would do much better than – the Coyotes unfortunately have done. And that would be disappointing because, you know, it'd be nice if it worked out there. It just, at some point, the writing's on the wall. But it looks like the NHL and Bettman are trying to push this thing through with everything they got.
Yeah.
Moving past the NHL, the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, or the PWHPA, will play four games of the 2021-22 Secret Dream Gap Tour at the MedStar Capitals Iceplex in Arlington from March 4th to the 6th as part of the Capitals PWHPA Showcase. The event features Team Adidas, which is the team from Minnesota, Team Bauer, which is the players from Boston, Team Scotiabank from Calgary, shocker, and Team Sonnet. I don't know what Sonnet is, some sort of businessy type thing. That's the players from Toronto. Winners of the games on March 4th and 5th will meet in the showcase final at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, March 6th, while the remaining two teams will square off in the showcase consolation game at 10:30 a.m. All four teams are vying to take home the fourth weekend prize pot of this PWHPA season. Sticking with women's hockey, the Premier Hockey Federation's 2022 Isabel Cup playoffs are headed to Florida. Well, probably good timing, too. It's nice and warm. I'll be doing that in March, marking the first time the Women's Hockey League will play its championship game outside of its franchise markets. The Isabel Cup playoffs are scheduled from March 25th to the 28th, at the Advent Health Center ICE in Wesley Chapel, Florida. Now, all six PHF teams will travel to, I don't know why I had trouble saying those initials. They're going to travel to Florida for the three-day, for some reason I could not get that out. They're going to go to Florida for the three-day tournament. The four lowest seeded teams in the playoffs will play in a preliminary round on Friday, March 25th, with the winners seeded to play the first and second highest teams on Sunday, March 27th. All of those games will be shown on ESPN Plus, which is the exclusive home in the U.S. for the PHF regular season. I have ESPN Plus. That'll be cool to check out those games. Now, the championship game for the Isabel Cup is scheduled for Monday, March 28th at 9 p.m. and will be shown on ESPN 2. I think I have ESPN Plus, but I don't have ESPN 2.
That seems weird.
I don't know why that's the case. And that is the network's first linear broadcast of a professional women's hockey game.
That's a big deal.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Let's shift over to the Olympics, as on Wednesday night, the USA women's hockey team will be up against Canada for the gold medal. It was written in the stars, Brandon. Finland won the Olympic bronze medal in Beijing after defeating Switzerland 4-0 on Wednesday. The men's U.S. hockey team, well, it didn't go quite as well for them, as they were knocked out of the Olympics with a shootout loss to Slovakia. Currently, the men's tournament is in the semifinal round. Finland's going to take on Slovakia, and the Russian Olympics Committee, or the Olympic players from Russia, or the Russians, who are not technically Russian, even though they're Russian, they'll be up against Sweden. That's now, the news. Go ahead.
Did you notice we're in the semifinal rounds? You said Finland, Slovakia, not Russia, and Sweden. So no U.S., no Canada.
Yeah, because all their best players are playing in the NHL.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be...
Then again, so all the other players, too. All their best players are playing in the NHL.
I mean, except for maybe Russia, Sweden, I guess Finland's, but Slovakia, they have a chance to medal. I don't even know when the last time they medaled was. I'm going to see if I can figure that out. Let's see. In 94, they finished 6th. 98, they finished 10th. 2002, they finished 13th. 2006, 5th. In 2010, 4th. Sochi, 11th. Pyeongchang, 11th. So this is quite a jump for Slovakia to go from 11th 4 years ago to potentially going for a medal.
Well, good for them. I mean, you know what? I'm rooting for them. Them, yeah. You know what? Slovakia for the gold.
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying I'm predicting that. I'm just saying that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
So.
I did watch, I stayed up. I'm tired now, but I did stay up and watch the entire hockey game last night. It started at 11 o'clock here on the East Coast, went till about 2:30. The U.S. team started out really strong. I felt very confident they were going to be able to get out of this game. But with 40 seconds left in the third, Slovakia came back, got that last-minute goal, completely rejuvenated them. Slovakia definitely played their hearts out against the U.S. U.S. got into overtime, and they were running around like a chicken with his head cut off. They looked so lost. Aaron Ness was kind of leading the charge, and he was constantly taking the puck behind the goalie and then just sitting there. I was like, dude, it's OT, man. You got to get that puck moving. You've only got 10 minutes. Let's get going. Let's go. And you could tell it just wasn't working, and then the shootout happened, and that was all she wrote. So it was definitely an upset. The U.S. has a lot of work to do for their national team, and it's so surprising because they were able to win World Juniors last year. They got gold for the World Juniors, and then the World Championship just a little under a year ago, they won bronze. So for them to be taken out in the quarterfinals definitely says something. It's unfortunate, but there's still going to be some great hockey to watch, but so surprising. The U.S. and Canada both out in the quarterfinals of the Olympics. I mean, that's just shocking, but let's see what these other teams can do. There's a lot of young talent on this team. Slovakia, there was a guy whose name, again, it was 1:30 in the morning, so I didn't write it down. But there was some young talent on this team that was very impressive, and I can definitely see them making a splash in the NHL eventually. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, it's been fun watching the Olympic hockey teams. Hopefully the women's hockey game for the gold is really good. We're recording this before it happens, but the U.S. and Canada have met already once in the preliminary rounds, and Canada was able to get a win. So this should be a good one. This is a great rivalry between the two countries.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for a good game. it should be fun one way or another. Hopefully with the U.S. winning. So, yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things. Also talk about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Washington Commanders. Have I been on the show since they changed the name?
I don't think you have.
So I'm coming around to it.
Okay.
It's taken me a little while. It could have been worse. It could be the Wizards, which is still a stupid name, and that needs to get changed. I would have loved Red Wolves. I get why they didn't go with that, because they didn't want to have potential litigation issues. They wanted something that no other team potentially has. But I really wish they'd gone with the Red Tails. I think of those two options, between Commanders and Red Tails, Red Tails would have been really cool. But I get it. They wanted to completely distance themselves from the name, from, you know, having the old name. They wanted something that identified with the military, which technically Armed Forces Red Tails would have. I just feel like they had a missed opportunity here.
I mean, I don't really have a
stake
in this.
Yeah,
whatsoever. So, I mean, I just think it's hilarious how everyone found out what the name was.
Oh, no surprise whatsoever that that happened.
Dude in a helicopter zooms into the window, and there's a big sign the night before. Like, you don't even put, like, a tarp up or something so people can't see.
That's what I said. Like, you're telling me you can afford all of these investigations into your own organization because you're a scumbag, but you can't afford a freaking tarp? You can't afford to have the banner rolled up, and then when you have your big unveiling, have some sort of Bluetooth button system, like some sort of Bond villain where you, like, hit a button and then, you know, the sparks fly and then the banners come down, and it's like, Commanders! And everyone goes, oh, that's disappointing. Like, you couldn't have made it a bigger deal than just coming out and making a joke about it because you're too stupid to figure out how to do it. Like, given that's probably not Snyder's fault. That's the marketing department's fault. And probably Jason Wright, the president of the team, I think is what his title is. Like, that's on them. But I'm still going to blame Snyder because he's a – well, I can't say what he is because this is a family show. But he – it's like one thing after another with this organization. I mean, they could have just gone about it the way the Cleveland – Guardians did. It just one day on Twitter, they're like, yep, that's our new team name.
Right.
Everyone's like, wait, we didn't even know y'all were changing it. But all right. Good to know. Thanks for the heads up, I guess.
Where's Groot? Where's Star-Lord?
Right? Like, they just had this 2-year process to come up with something where everyone was like, uh-huh. Okay. Not loving it. Like, it's okay. Red Wolves would have been great. Has somewhat of a connection to the team. It's an endangered species. Could have, you know, had some great opportunities for not only marketing, but helping with that and getting more funds and more help for those for any organizations that are trying to help Red Wolves. Could have done the Red Tails so you could have some recognition of Tuskegee Airmen, as well as the jersey mock-ups that I saw, like, fans came up with. Those looked really cool. Instead, he went with the Commanders and some jerseys that they're okay, not great. The W kind of looks like it's a piece of paper that's just been folded a couple of times.
Yeah. I did like the...
The circle logo, the patch thing. That's good, except for they botched the years on it.
The I like the DC flag on the jerseys.
That's true. I do like that. I mean, as someone who lives in Maryland or someone who lives in Virginia, it's probably a little bit of like, hey, like... What about us? Like, the Caps got it. They have the three stars, which you could be, oh, it's a DC flag. But they say one's for the district, one's for Maryland, one's for Virginia. Like, yeah. They were smart about it. So, I get it. It's going to be entertaining, though, if they're the Washington Commanders, but they get a stadium in Virginia. Like, are you Washington or are you Virginia? Like, what's the case?
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, whew, man, they botched that badly. But either way,
what else is new?
That's what I know. That's following me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the National Hockey League, and other hockey related things that Brandon finds funny. He will throw them on the Facebook page. But Brandon, we were just talking about the Washington Commanders, and yeah, it's really going to take me a while to get used to that one. But hey, if someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should listen to?
You can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Right now, with the Super Bowl being over, there's not much for us to talk about. However, we are approaching episode 300 of The Call. So we're trying to plan something special, and make sure you tune in, subscribe wherever you like this podcast, and you'll be there for episode 300. It's going to be some random, like, oh, the schedule's out episode. That's going to be like episode 300. That's how close we are. But hey, if you enjoy this show, got to tell everybody about it. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. All right, so let's go over the games until we talk again. So I know I missed last week. I do apologize for that, everyone.
How dare you, sir?
I know. We do this for free, like I say. So sometimes work gets in the way. But looking at the schedule right now, between now and the next Wednesday when we normally record is the one game against the Flyers. So Coach Dan and I, we will take 2 weeks off and be back on March 1st. Unless there is a big blockbuster trade, then we will be back to discuss that. But let's go over the four games until we talk again, unless something big happens. On Thursday, February 17th, the Capitals are up against the Flyers in Pittsburgh. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Be careful up there in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know they don't like the Caps there. And then they have a complete week off. And then the Caps come back from their vacation, hopefully well-rested, and they'll be up against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden up in NYC. That game's at 7 o'clock, and that is on just regular, plain old ESPN. And then on Saturday, February 26th, the Capitals have an afternoon game. That game is in Philadelphia at 12:30 in the afternoon. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or on the NHL Network. And then on Monday, February 28th, the Capitals travel back home. They welcome the Toronto Maple Leafs to town. That game is at 7:30, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington. So, pending if there's a trade or not or whatever, Coach Dan and I will be back in March. Maybe we'll record the first or the second. We'll let you know. Because look at March. There's a lot of hockey going on there. They had a nice two-month break where they had 5 days off in a row every other week. This one, they're lucky if they get a couple days off in a row in March. So, buckle up, everybody. It's going to be a bumpy ride to the end of this season. So, that's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.